Galatians chapter 2, from verse 17 to verse 21. This follows hard on, continuously, from the previous two verses. In 15 and 16 of chapter 2, Paul has told us very plainly, told us three times, we are justified, made right with God, not by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Three times, I say, he says this. We are justified not by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. You can tell how important this subject is to the apostle. He stresses it three times in two verses. Remember, he's not writing in verses. Almost in one continual sentence, he pours out this doctrine, hammers it home three times. Now, as I say, many people believe that that is the sum total of the letter to the Galatians. It's a massive doctrine, but that is not the only point, nor even the main point, that Paul is making in writing to the Galatians. The Galatians are being attacked by law teachers, infiltrated by law teachers, who want to bring them under the law, not only for justification, but for the whole shooting match of the Christian experience. Sanctification, glorification, liberty, assurance, joy, everything. Law, law, law. No, says the apostle, no. As I say, he stressed the justification, not by law, in verses 15 and 16. But it's a plain as a pikestaff. In verse 17 to verse 21, he's moving on to this next great theme. The law does not justify a sinner, nor does it sanctify a saint. Let me prove it. Verse 17. If while we seek to be justified in Christ. Now, he does not mean that this is a sinner seeking for salvation. That's not the point at all. If we are saying we are justified in Christ, if this is our claim, if this is our experience, if this is our way now, if this is where we have reached, if this is what we're talking about, if we know this, if we have this, if this is our position that we are justified in Christ, he's not going back on what he's just said. He's not saying we're in a process of being justified. He's saying while we're in this ambience, while we're in this position, while we're in this claim, in this stance, we are justified in Christ. It becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners. In other words, our life is not consistent with that. We have not become new creatures. We're not showing all things are passed away and behold, all things are new. Where does the fault lie? Is it with Christ? Is this what justification is? Now, there are many people today, a growing number, I think, who believe that we can be carnal, and they're being taught that we can be carnal. That is virtually destroying what the apostle says here. No, Christ's justification does not lead to carnality. It leads to sanctification. It leads to godliness. Christ doesn't promote sin. Absolutely not. God forbid. I'm not having that. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I'm a lawbreaker. What do I mean? If I sin, I sin. It's my responsibility. And I'm responsible for it. And it's wrong. Christ's justification, justification by faith, does not produce carnality. Now, it doesn't develop it here, but we could develop it from John 3. The only way a man can be justified is by faith. Well, we have that in Galatians 2. But the only way a man can come to faith is by the operation of God. It is the gift of God, Ephesians 2. What is more, but no man will believe, because he is dead in his sins, no man will believe until he's regenerate, John 3. So the work of the Spirit is to regenerate, give him new life. Bring him to faith and repentance. Trust in Christ, he is justified. But if I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I've never been regenerated. I prove if I live consistently in sin, if I go on in my sinful ways, I prove I've never been regenerated, never come to faith, and never been justified. It's James chapter 2. Of course, it doesn't mean sinless perfection is essential. None of us are sinlessly perfect in this life. No, no. But the truth is, as John speaks about it in his letter, what's our course of life? What is our attitude? What is our mindset? We claim to be justified in Christ. It will show itself in sanctification. Now, as I say, there are people who say no to that today, and they think we can live carnal lives. They are quite wrong. They're quite wrong. They're making Christ promote sin. That's quite wrong. But the question is now, for those of us who understand that sanctification must follow on from justification, it's inevitable. It's essential. The way we demonstrate our justification is by our sanctification. Right, now most of us are agreed with that, most believers. Now this is where we fall apart. Many now, because of Calvin, although they don't know it, many of them, think that that's by the law. That's precisely what these law teachers were saying at Galatia. What does Paul say? It's not by the law. We don't get this sanctification by the law. We don't go to rules and regulations. We don't go to the law for it. Let me argue it out here. For through the law, I'm speaking from verse 19, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. He's talking about sanctification, isn't he? Live for God. That is sanctification, brother and sister. That is sanctification. How can I live for God? By dying to the law. How can the law, therefore, be my sanctifier? How can that be the standard? How can that be the whip? How can that be the rule? It's impossible. The only way I can be sanctified, that I might live for God, is to be dead to the law, to have died to the law. What do you mean? Well, read Romans 7, the first 6 verses. You have to die to the law to be married to Christ. If you don't die to the law, you're still in your sins. But by dying to the law, coming into Christ, you are married to Christ, and then you can bear children, fruit, spiritual life, spiritual godliness, sanctification for Christ. Through the law, I died to the law. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, Paul was a Jew before his conversion, and he was under the law. And Romans 7 tells us he felt the conviction of sin by the law. But, of course, Christ came under the law, lived under the law, and died under the law, was cursed under the law. I, through the law, therefore, says Paul, died to the law by Christ's work. I was brought to Christ. I was convicted of my sins. And Christ redeemed me under the law. And I am free from the law. I have died to the law. Christ is the end of the law to everyone who believes. He is the fulfillment of it, the terminus of it, the goal of it. We as Gentiles, of course, never were under the law, if we're Gentiles. But nevertheless, even through the law, we have died to the law because Christ came under the law and died for us under the law. I have been crucified with Christ. There is union with Christ. This is Romans 5 and 6, of course. Union with Christ. Oneness with Christ. I am in Christ. And he says, Christ lives in me. Christ in me, me in Christ. John 17. All these passages pour into this now. What is this? When we come to faith in Christ, we are united to Christ. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. We are joined to Christ. And Christ is in us. And all that Christ has done, all that Christ is to God, we have done and we are to God. So that we are without fault, stain, spot, wrinkle or any such thing. There is no condemnation now to any man who is in Christ Jesus. He has died under the wrath of God in Christ. He has been raised again in Christ. He has ascended into glory, Ephesians 2:6. He is seated now, even with Christ in glory. For through the law I died to the law, that so I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body. He's talking about sanctification now. Justification through faith in Christ, union to Christ, having all the righteousness of Christ, being washed in the blood of Christ, now living by faith in the Son of God, not by obedience to the law, not by looking at rules, but looking to Christ, trusting Christ, by faith in the Son of God. He loved me. He gave himself for me, says Paul. Verse 20. And I trust him, not only for my justification, but I look to him, trusting him, walking with him, loving him, wanting to serve him and honor him in my sanctification. What is the motive for sanctification? The law. No. Punishment. No. It is Christ. Assurance? Christ. Glory? Christ. Liberty? Christ. Read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, my friend. Read those four chapters. Read them out loud. Read them in other versions, apart from the one you normally use. And then look at this passage again. I, through the law, am dead to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This doesn't frustrate the grace of God. This doesn't set it aside, verse 21. This builds the grace of God. The law teachers are setting aside the grace of God. There's too many law teachers about today. One is too many. When men tell us to go to rules and regulations for our sanctification, when they say, keep looking at your works and see if you keep up to the law, and then you'll be assured. All that is wrong. Christ is all to this man. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, there's justification. Christ died for nothing, all in vain. There is no justification outside of Christ. It is not by law. But as Paul has argued here, he's now transforming himself now. He's moving, translating, he's transferring himself. He's moving on now into the great theme of this letter, as he will open in the next chapter. Remember, there's no chapter divisions. He's moving already into sanctification. He's building on his justification doctrine. That is not by observing the law, but now our life in Christ, our life now on as those who are justified. How is that to be lived? How is that to be worked out? As I say, it's not by law. It is by Christ. Oh, unbeliever, can't you hear what I'm saying? And I'm not just saying it, I'm basing it on Scripture. The Word of God says to us, what does it say to us? Christ is all. Is there any Islamic person listening to me? Any Roman Catholic listening to me? Any Jehovah's Witness, Mormon? Any atheist listening to me? Listen to what Christ himself says. I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no other name, said Peter, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. These teachers here were saying law. Some are saying rites, ceremonies, sacraments, church attendance, following Muhammad, following the priests, or whatever. The answer to them all is, that is wrong. Utterly misguided. Trusting reason, no. Read Paul again. Trust Christ, he says. We know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one would be justified. Through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and so on. How many times does he mention Christ in these two paragraphs? And when you put the pronouns on him, and words like himself, and so on, how many times is Christ mentioned here? The whole theme is Christ. Law is mentioned, yes. Only for Paul to say, the law will do nothing for you. You must die to the law, and you must live by faith in Christ. Believer, I hope you find this instructive, heartwarming. Look to Jesus. Set your affection upon him. Set your mind upon him. Consider him. Set him ever before you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher and completer of our faith. Unbeliever, whatever state you're in, whatever condition you're in, whatever part of the world you're in, whatever religion you're in. Outside of Christ, you have nothing. In Christ, you have all. Come into the Lord Jesus Christ by confessing your sins to Him, turning to Him, calling upon His name, and He will save you. He will justify you, sanctify you, assure you, liberate you, glorify you, one day take you into everlasting glory. Christ is all.